Okay.
Welcome everybody to Downtown Advisory Board. So today, February 25th, second round of four meetings for our budget discussions.
Yes, you do. Thank you.
All right, air interpreting.
Present.
Linda Nishioka.
Present.
Brad Compton.
Present.
Tyson Giza.
Here.
Vincenzo on vacation in Missouri. Not present. Scott McCloud. Jordan Truitt.
Present.
And Charles Weathers, Mr. Disneyland.
Yeah, on vacation and present, therefore the hardest worker.
I can just hear the excitement. Okay, so the first things first, approval of the agenda.
Move to approve.
So moved.
A second, Linda.
Okay. And the approval of minutes from February 11th.
Do you want to say all in favor, Josh, on the first one?
Pardon me. All in favor of the approval of the agenda.
Aye.
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 Yes.
Okay. Moving on, the approval of the minutes from February 11th.
Move to approve.
I'll second again. Linda?
Okay. And let's vote on that.
Aye.
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 Okay. Now we can get into the meat of the potatoes. Action items. Downtown Advisory Board's 2021-22 Parking Fund Recommendation to City Council. Sheree, do you want to take on from here?
I will. Thank you, Josh. As you know, at our last meeting, we were given a draft budget that reflected a projection for a deficiency in this year and a significant deficiency in next year. And Kristen had spoken to some other funding sources that could possibly be used to address that deficit. But what we have in front of us is something that is not balanced. And there's a process that higher officials will have to go through in order to delegate funds necessary to make this balanced. So this is a hard one for me because I don't think that board should take action on a budget that is not balanced. Now, your IGA says that a couple of your responsibilities deal with the budget. One being that you make a recommendation to council on a budget for the parking fund, and two, that you make a recommendation on the parking tax rate. So obviously we have that obligation, but what I'm proposing that the board do today is have your action be no budget recommendation until such time as you're presented with a balanced budget to review and hopefully time to make a recommendation on for council consideration before a budget gets adopted. The second piece would be kind of what we talked about two meetings back in regards to would we be this year wanting to increase parking permit rates, would we be thinking it's appropriate to increase the parking tax rate And my take from the board discussion was that was not something we feel that we would want to do this year. We would want to keep it flat. And the current rate is $442.16 a year. The majority of businesses in downtown pay the minimum, and that's the minimum. Obviously, it's different depending on the type of business that you have, if you have parking or not provided to your customers, and a lot of other factors. So in addition to the first piece of what I would recommend for your motion, I would also add that the board understands that they have obligations in their IGA to set the parking tax rate, but recommends no increase in whatever the final budget comes back for 21-22, to leave it at the current rate. Mm-hmm. Is this making sense to everyone? Josh and I had a little bit of a chance to talk, and I just can't imagine you taking action on something that has such a significant deficit, and at the end of the day, this budget would not be able to move forward because they have to be balanced. So,
Marie, do we have any idea when Kristen would know about some of those? I can't remember if they were grants or what they were exactly, but the other funding sources that she was.
Yeah. I think she was talking about the CARES Act funding. Wasn't that correct, Cherie?
I think she was thinking that possibly could help this year's. I don't know if that applies to next year's.
Okay.
She implied, general fund. But again, there's going to have to be discussions. I know that the parking fund is not the only budget that's challenged due to all of the impacts. So there's multiple departments and divisions that will have to be meeting to talk about how these get balanced. I know we didn't talk about this at the last meeting, I just would not want you to try to vote or make a recommendation on this. I think that it makes sense again for you to state that you don't want to take action on this, but that you want the balanced budget that will have to be done to come back and have an opportunity to take a look at.
Great. Yeah. Do we need to make a motion then as such? Like, do we need to make a motion to send a letter or what? Memo to the city council saying what you've just said. In other words, that we are not recommending a budget at this time until
balanced budget
can be balanced.
I think Callie's on this meeting. I don't think we need to send a communication. I think Callie would have the minutes of this meeting, and she would use that, and Kristen for when they go and have this discussion at a different time and place, that you want to be included in seeing what comes out of those discussions as far as parking fund budget, and that, because she needs to know when they have that conversation, what you're thinking about the parking tax rate, and this way she'll have that information that your recommendation is to keep it flat. So yes, back to you, Erin, I'm sorry. I do think that you should take a motion or take action to not have a budget recommend,
okay,
to not move forward the budget that you received that has a significant deficit,
okay,
right now, that you want the balanced one to come back for you to review.
Okay, so I'll make that motion.
It's a long one, sorry.
Do I need to restate it, or can I just say so moved?
And I'll simply say, and I second that.
Well, I think it would be good for the record to state.
The motion is
to not vote on this budget until we're presented a balanced budget.
Yes. Sounds good.
And the second part?
Well, the second, you want it to be one motion with the parking tax increase?
Oh, I guess you can make
or should they be two? I'm fine either way, Sheree. I just, they seem like two separate.
I like two. That's great. Issues. Thanks, Aaron.
Okay, so we should vote on the first one first, though, right?
Right.
Call the question.
You want to do that, Josh, for me?
Yes. So let's call a vote on that motion.
So the motion is that we're voting on is not to recommend, not to submit our recommendations until we have a balanced budget. Is that basically an okay way to word it for us to vote?
I would say so. So moved.
Aye.
Does anyone want to do the second one? I'm not even sure I'd be able to word that one. We might need help from Sheree again.
Well, so, did we get the first motion recorded? Was there any?
Yeah.
I want to step out of line here, but Josh, I think you just want to confirm that there were no votes and that it passed.
So to confirm, was anybody voting no on that? Sorry, second time doing this, I'm still getting acclimated to protocol.
That's okay, Josh. I called everybody by their first name, roll call, and I realized that was incorrect. So it's.
I believe that we're unanimous on that first motion. And the second motion, I believe, is to.
Okay, so the second motion would be to recommend no increase in the parking tax rate for fiscal year 21 and 22.
I would make that motion, no parking tax increases.
Linda, would you like?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and second that if no one else wants to jump in.
So, all in favor say aye.
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 Fourth time.
Aye.
Aye.
All right.
Well, Sheree, I do want to tell you, Sheree, this was probably the time that I had my most questions on this budget, and so I am actually quite relieved that we're not having to vote on, because it was just like, oh, I was uncomfortable. So, thank you for kind of informing us that we did not have to be making a vote on this budget, because I was really struggling looking through it.
Well, again, I was worried and felt it would be completely inappropriate if we tried to balance it as a board due to the significant, it just wouldn't be appropriate. So, so we're gonna move on to the fun one. That's all I have to say. We're gonna have some fun now.
We're moving on to information reports.
We're moving on to the, yes, thank you, Josh.
Okay, well, the draft 21-22 Riverfront Downtown Urban Renewal Budget Information Report. So, Sheree, do you want to kick this off?
I can kick it off. I'm going to check, I guess, with all of you to see if you want me to go over those projects that are just a carryover, they're not new. If you have any questions on that, because that would probably be more Callie. If you want to just start talking about what was in the memo, the new ones, and have me go through what I was thinking, and then if there's something that I may have missed that you think we should have for a project, we can then look at a funding amount for that, and have Callie chime in regards to if that would be feasible or not. I will do whatever works best for all of you.
I would say we should start with the new projects proposed.
Okay. So, I'm gonna get my ruler so I can get it on the right lines. Because I already saw I left one out, but I think I caught it. So the first one that you're gonna see is there's several projects that deal with alleys. The one this year was that Rebecca's working on is putting poles at the entrances of the alleys and putting the names that were selected for those alleys. The goal is to get that infrastructure in this year. So that's what the alley naming project is that you see. The alley improvements is a pot of money that we don't know yet what we might want to do with it, but we want to have funds to support an alley improvement in case something comes up. Then in addition to that, I have like the one I just talked about, the poles and the toppers, I want to have a specific project for arches because there are some arches that are attached to historic buildings which are not doing any favors to the sides of those buildings, to that facade, that are infrastructure for like wisteria, and they have lights in them too. They provide lights for the alley. One already broke. We had to close an alley this last year because the wisteria then fell down and you couldn't get through it. And so the goal's always been to see if we could get a design that would work not just for holding up wisteria and putting a light in it, if that's what we had to do, but some type of an arch that we could replicate at different alleys in downtown. Something that would not require us to attach itself to a building, something that would have the height that it would need to be in order for a Republic or a trash hauler to get down, something that maybe you could put twinkle lights on, something that has come out in lots of different meetings that I've been in. Wouldn't it be fun to do something? And so this would be a way for us to kind of start exploring that. We would be looking at the metal arches in the alley between Court and State where Victory Club is, kind of first because there's issues there, and it needs to get off of the buildings. You know, part of our task has always been to try to preserve the historic buildings, and having that stuff attached to, it's just not good. So that's what this project is. Any questions on that?
So are you looking at having a consultant that would recommend whether this be poles from the along next to the building, or is there somebody that could attach it to the roof without damaging the building, or any thoughts on that, or would we need to have a consultant come and give recommendations?
Part of this would be engaging somebody to put together a design, possibly some type of, we probably work with Public Works because all things in the alley is kind of their, you know, they have oversight over that, but the goal would be to have it be something that would be bolted down to the ground.
Okay.
You know, narrow enough that it doesn't interfere with anything. I mean, I think we've all seen these in other cities that visited.
Yes.
But again, because they need to be so tall, you know, there's that engineering element to how would that need to be designed. I think one of the disappointments with the alley lighting that we put in Electric Alley is those poles are so much bigger than I thought.
Yeah.
That in order to hold that lighting that's on the wires to have a different look and feel, those poles were way bigger.
Yeah, they're huge.
They're huge, way bigger than we ever thought. So I think Rebecca and I kind of have a vision of what we think, and she pulled some pictures that we were looking at. But again, I have no idea because I'm not a metal worker or an engineer. But that's the intent, to have some money to try to figure that out and to start with just a couple to see if we can do it.
So I do also have a question about alleys. There was conversation during Streetscape about having the alley name in the concrete at the sidewalks. Is that in the budget at all? Or?
Okay, well, the good news about that is that's just part of Streetscape.
Okay.
So when we do Streetscape in a location where the alley has a name, because, you know, the first location where we put Streetscape, that's the one that the tribes haven't identified a name, wouldn't
yes,
you know
have.
It?
Yeah.
But the infrastructure is there to add that in.
Okay, good. I wonder.
So we don't have to worry ever about those on the ground at the entrances to the, you know, to the alley. It's just part of our Streetscape budget.
And is anyone communicating with the tribe to find out if they're working on that or have made any decisions to, or is that back with Salem Main Street?
It would be between, I guess, Kimberly, you know.
Oh, Kimberly, okay.
At the city, because she has that relationship.
Okay, maybe I'll email her and find out if there's anything happening. Okay.
About Streetscape. In 2021, we had about 2.5, and it looks like for 21-22, we have about half of that. I know I'm anxious to see it continue as quickly as possible, and it was kind of, I think, maybe it was COVID, and so there weren't as many people downtown, or it was easier, I don't know. It seemed to go really smoothly and go in very quickly. So I guess I'm just kind of wondering why we wouldn't try to put more like 2.5 there again and try to get more done. I know it all takes a lot of time because there's design.
Yes. Yeah. So we had this exact same conversation last year when we did it. We wanted to put more in Streetscape, but somehow we didn't put more in Streetscape at the end of the day. I remember, this seems like deja vu. This number comes from Public Works based on how they do design, you know, work, and then how the cash flow goes out from one year, and then the next year you're actually paying for the improvements. Right now, I have confirmation that the south side of Court Street between Front and Commercial is already underway with a consultant through Public Works to start looking at that. Remember, the other piece that we wanted to do was between Court and Chemeketon High Street, blending in where we could the 3x3s that are already there, but there's no trees there, you know, and the issue was, my instructions were, do not choose a location that has restaurants or that would impact a lot of businesses. Businesses are suffering. We do not want to be doing anything this summer that would impact them negatively, which is the other reason why I went to High. In that area, you have very few, Gospel Guy and the shoe repair shop. Well, I had a meeting with Public, even though I had a meeting with Public Works and that's what we talked about, I had another meeting with Public Works with higher ups in Public Works, and they did not like that at all. They felt that the concrete that's in that area looks good and is new. It's the 3x3. And when we talked about it in greater detail, they didn't feel that they would be able to blend in the 1x1s into the 3x3s and do the curbs that it was, they would have to rip it up, is what they said. And they really, because there's a lot of sensitivity about sidewalks in neighborhoods, not just in downtown, but a lot of sensitivity to where sidewalks go, who gets them, I don't know. Anyway, Public Works did not like at all and asked me to come up with an alternate location. So I met with Public Works staff and we took a look at on Commercial Street between Court, where we were going to end on the west side, up to blending in with what we finished on State Street. not messing with the new stuff that's in front of Pioneer Bank, but trying to, and of course there is really bad sidewalk there compared to what's over on High Street, which is true. And so Night Deposit is on the corner, and then you have Gravenhorst vacant building. It's never had a tenant in that. You have T-Zone, and it's pushed way back off the sidewalk. So you would, you have Gallagher's, but there's not that many there that would be impacted. And then if you think about in the future, if we did something, you know, when we do something over here at UGM, you're kind of continuing down Commercial Street to tie in and get that kind of look and feel. But that second option that I just talked about needs to be discussed at a higher level, because I got an okay for the High Street, Court Street, but now the Public Works wants an alternative location for phase two. It needs to be discussed between Public Works and the director of UD. So I will have to get back to you on that, but just know, Aaron, that Michael in Public Works, he's amazing. He's our project manager, and he calls me every week saying, hey, Sheree, I'm moving on phase two. I'm moving on phase two. So I personally have no problem ever increasing streetscape, because we've always thought if somebody else was doing something in a location and we could bring that into it, you know, bring the funding in to have that incorporated into it, we would. We would do that.
I think, I mean, I feel like we need to keep this sense of urgency, because, I mean, coronavirus is a perfect example. Unforeseen things come along, situation changes, and all of a sudden we end up with the exact problem we had before, which is a patchwork of different, over the years, different designs, and nothing's consistent, it doesn't look good. And so I feel strongly we need to push to get this stuff done as quickly as possible, so we really can achieve that goal of trying to having that, you know, sense of place downtown. Along those lines, Sheree, can you find out, maybe you already know, how did it go for the businesses in the first round? Because I walked down there during construction, and they had, you know, for the most part, most of the summer, they had a way that you could walk and then walk into the businesses. Yeah, it was, you know, a little bit disruptive, but it seemed like it went fine to me. So I'd be curious to know from those businesses that were directly adjacent to what was done last summer, how they did. And also, I'd like to know, on these streets where we're trying to be sensitive and not, you know, affect their summer business, when you ask those business owners, are they very, you know, concerned, or are they concerned but open to the idea? Because, I mean, I'd hate for us to just be like, oh, we don't want to disrupt them, and then it turns out they would have been just fine.
That's the one lesson that we learned, and it's just a good thing again that we are consistently given the same project manager in Public Works. He's so genuine and so can communicate very well. But that's the one thing that we learned. So even though he went out early on and talked to property owners, the negative was when the actual contractor started, it might have been months later, all of a sudden they show up and they give a very curt notice to the businesses that say, starting tomorrow you're going to have, you know, so the businesses then were upset. And we thought that when we outreached to the property owners, they would have turned around and shared it with the businesses, but that did not happen. So we've already debriefed about this. The next phase, we will also outreach to the businesses and the property owners early on, because I got feedback from more than one business that they did not get any information from the property owner. And again, the message that that particular contractor gave to businesses, just the tone and everything was just, I wouldn't have wanted to get that either. It just wasn't pleasant, but it wasn't coming from us. We had sent stuff out a lot earlier, but in every ownership, you know, multiple people open the mail. Who does it get to? Who would be the right one? Again, that was the one lesson that we learned, but everybody was very positive. You're right, Aaron. Once we got over that moment, everybody felt that they were given, the businesses felt that they, you know, were taken care of and had a point person and were updated on a regular basis. So, you know, I don't think we would have a problem. We will do a project every year. That we will do a project every year. We have a project. We will do a project every year. We'll continue to do what you're doing right now. We'll put money in there, and we will push for a project every year, even with these challenges, because that was our deal when we did this. To keep the momentum going, we know it's going to take 10 years, but we will hit each one of those blocks and get a consistent look and feel. We will have the drip for a basket. We will have the power for twinkle lights. It will get done. It's just, it's your priority. So that's why this is a great time to discuss it. If you had to choose two things, you know, you want more there, or you historically the boards wanted enough there to keep this going. It's just Public Works, you know, has the capacity and will deal with so much of this for us, but they know. So let's say, for example, because they want to know where to go, how to plan for future years. So if we stick with High Street and Court Street, that's phase two. And phase three, we just were talking about, we're going to go back over to commercial. Something's happening at UGM Saffron. We have this vision, you know, or you're going back and you're looking at State Street. You build off of what you're already having. So we already know where phase three is. And then we know where phase four is going to be because of what I was just talking about. It makes sense to try to make these connections. And then hopefully we won't have something that's so disruptive where we just can't do exactly the right thing as far as the consistency that we want to do. But yeah, once we get through all this, if you want to kind of put a, we don't have a whiteboard, but on my tablet, I have a little placeholder for Streetscape Plus. Once we get through all this, if that's something that we have a placeholder for, do we have enough? And if you wanted to put more in, how much? Because this was just based on what Public Works said, a half block type of being conservative, it would cost. Is that good? Anybody else have anything on that before I go to the next one?
Well, could you just follow up with Public Works and ask them a capacity question? Like, could you do more?
Can you do at one time?
Yeah, how much would you want to do? Yeah.
Okay.
Because I would need to recommend something and then
it's they like, not be able to deliver.
Like, oh, we can't even do that, so.
Okay, that's a good question. I will ask them.
I'd just like to point out real quick, it looks like the draft budget for the 2021-22, it's just the difference between what we had budgeted in 2021 and what's projected to be spent this past year. So perhaps it was just delays due to COVID. Does everyone follow what I'm saying? Okay, perfect.
And I do want to make sure that we make time for everything else because there's some exciting new projects coming down the pipeline. So we just covered the alley entrances, they kind of went to Streetscape. Now we're at the redevelopment planning and site preparation.
This is where I forgot one, Josh, but it will take 2 seconds. So if you look on your budget, you're going to see Court Street conversion from one way to two. So basically, we've always tried to build in a recommendation from our mobility study. And so we just did State Street conversion from one-way to two-way up to Church. And so this would be the next project that we would take the one-way and convert it to two. It's more money than State Street because it's more complicated and it's a bigger project than what, because State Street already had that done a certain distance. This is different. And then we have where Court is already two-way right there by Music Court. So anyway, this one's more complicated. But again, when I can, I try to continue to have those recommendations from the mobility study, one of those put in each year, so we can keep those projects going forward too, because they were an important piece of the strategic plan in that we wanted to make it easy for people to get in and out of downtown to support the businesses. Okay, next one.
Thank you.
Okay, this one will be easy too. So if you looked at your budget, you would have seen in this year's projected some funds for a Portland Loop. And again, this has come up for many years, trying to figure out the product that provides safety and easy for law enforcement, easy to maintain, and the Portland Loop was the one that was suggested, and you have a lead time for ordering it, which is why there's cost in this year's budget and then cost in next year's budget in order to take it. It comes fully assembled, but obviously you have to have utilities and a place to put it and lights and everything else. But when I was getting ready today for this, it's my understanding that Parks is having the same challenges with their budget that we are with parking fund. And so I'm waiting to see if they would even now still want to move forward something if they're struggling with being able to take care of what they already have. It may not be the right year for that. So it's there, but I think that they're, again, asking questions about how they do what they need to do right now versus taking on something else. So I don't know, other than what I just shared with you, that's the most current information. Okay. So the next one is parkade improvement design. So, you know, there's no words for the challenges dealing with the parking structures. And so this is to take a look at, are there things that we could do to help with maintaining and cleaning it, help us with crime prevention. I don't even know what they might be, but I wanted to put something in here because I think that it's important that we at least ask and explore that because of the increased challenges that we're having with the parking structures, especially when you look at our budget and we're paying dearly in the parking fund for the challenges with the designs of those parking structures. And of course, I wouldn't do it without having the police department and facilities be a key partner in that discussion and then in that exploration. So I guess I would be interested in knowing what you all think about that, if that's a good idea.
That's a tough one. I don't have much experience with the maintenance of parking garages. It seems like $100,000 for consulting would be sufficient. But who manages the maintenance of those right now? Is that outsourced or is it part of facilitated by actual city employees?
So we had quite a lengthy conversation about this at the last meeting, Josh. So facilities. We have a department that is on point for maintenance of the city buildings. And so they're the ones who put together the list of capital projects. So if the elevator needed to be replaced, if the parkades needed to be painted, they're the ones who have the replacement schedules, the maintenance schedules for all the city's facilities. And so later on in this memo, you'll see Marion Parkade Glass.
Yeah.
That was, if you took a look at that document that had all of their recommended projects for the parkades for the next several years, they gave us kind of this look into the future so we could figure out how much we needed to reserve, put in reserve to pay for these capital costs. It was supposed to be out of the parking fund. It's hard for me to have this conversation because we're not talking parking fund, we're talking riverfront, but parking fund does not have the ability to pay for anything. So basically I'm looking at riverfront to, because I don't want riverfront to be responsible for all the parkade costs, capital costs. So I'm trying to be thoughtful and okay, let's use riverfront to see if there's something there that we could do so it we could not keep having the issues with the deficits in the parking fund. And the 100,000 may be enough for us to, if something comes out of a consulting contract, we could do it if it wasn't that much money. Because you're right, it's more than what we would typically see for, but again, I feel because it's more complicated and it might require some expertise that deal more like what the police facility had, you know, that deal with crime prevention. I just don't know. So I put a placeholder in there.
Well, I think it's smart to get independent third party analysis. There's a time and a place for that. It's so significant and such a cost center that I think it makes sense to do.
Does anybody else have a question on that? Okay, so the next one again is a placeholder to try to continue exploring if there's any role we can play other than maintaining a nice balance in the grant program and doing the streetscape that Aaron's talking about, because that improves the value and the vibrancy for everyone in downtown. That's why that's such a great project, because it's not a one-off. It will be there for all the businesses, all the buildings. Everybody will appreciate the streetscape. But obviously we have some issues with some buildings right now that are somewhat concentrated in the same area of downtown. That we want to have whatever tools available to us to try to help get those buildings back up and contributing. I think we didn't really talk about it because the parking fund budget was just so broken. But, you know, when you lose like Nordstrom's and you lose Penny's, you know, back in the old days, we would list all of the businesses in the parking district booklet, and almost 40% of the revenue in the parking tax came from those large buildings, because most of the businesses just pay the annual fee that we were talking about of the $400. But something like Nordstrom's was paying like, I think it was what, $27,000, and Penny's $25,000. I mean, you want to know why you don't have revenue in the parking fund? Well, there's your $50,000 right off the top. And I'm just going to throw out here because, you know, I won't be here forever. But, you know, back in the days when we were looking at paid parking on street.
Yes, you will. Sorry, Sheree.
Sorry. If you actually took a look at what we were looking at for revenue from a paid system, and we only got 10% of it, 10% of it, it would be way more than what we get in the parking tax. So the businesses wouldn't have the tax anymore. If you want to use this, if you have to be right on the street, you pay for that privilege. I'm hoping someday that we can take a look at that. And if you need free, like turbo, whatever tax on TV, you could go in the parkade. You can go in the parkade. So, you know, that has contributed significantly to why the revenue's down for the parking tax too. We've lost some big contributors. So this is just a placeholder to provide support if an opportunity comes up in a way other than a grant. Anybody have any?
Well, actually, Sherita, this is Linda. I was looking at these budgets, I'm thinking, well, you know, when should we start to rediscuss the idea of paid parking on the street, free parking in the parkades, or at least some of them? Because how are you going to sustain these projects when you don't have those big dollars coming in from Nordstrom's and Penney's? And if even if those buildings, if the mall is converted to other things, would we see those types of parking revenue, or would it be structured differently to encourage somebody to move in? So, you know, I do think that the parking tax is probably a bit broken, and we may need to try to figure out what could work for the businesses. And yes, we're going to get complaints, but businesses wouldn't have to be paying the tax. And if they could explain that to their customers, you know, but again, you're going to get complaints no matter what. And just trying to figure out the best system. The only thing I would say is making sure it would be easy to facilitate. You flash a card at it. All you have to do is punch in a number or something that's your number or whatever, because the harder the meters are to utilize, that can generate even more complaints. Anyway. Well,
just so that somebody remembers this in the future, in the historic district, we wouldn't be able to put the kiosk. If you look around the Capitol, when we did technology upgrades, we had to put in the smart meters. But it would be very difficult in the historic district to get the kiosk. And smart meters are a lot better than the old technology. But just in case somebody says, I don't understand if this ever happened, why don't we have the kiosk? It's a historic district. And that would not be something that would work.
I'm just thinking about that $50,000 you have for adaptive reuse consulting services, and I think you could cover quite a bit of ground with that amount of money. But you said, if you do the math, if $50,000 is 1 year of two buildings being occupied, then it would make sense that we could up that number if needed. Again, I don't know if it would be needed, but I would hate to put $50,000 there and then it's like, oh, we just needed $75,000. And I don't know, maybe you can cover that with other grants, so maybe it's fine. But it's just a thought that if X developer out there is looking at the buildings and you're able to say you have, you know, a little bit more of a significant amount of money to just help them get off the ground, we would, the greater downtown would benefit, parking fund would benefit, everybody would benefit. So just a thought.
Again, you want me to put that on my whiteboard?
Yeah.
I'd
like to hear others' thoughts, but I'm just thinking it would be well worth it to get those buildings filled if we spent $150,000. I mean,
I would agree. The vacancy in north mid downtown's crisis, and it'd be good to take a real strong look at increasing that. Frankly, $50,000 sounds like an introductory line item, but considering what it could result in big picture long term, because that's a very creative use of funds, and frankly it might just be what's needed to, but if you start some of these conversations or at least take it to the next level, because there's so much uncertainty, especially given the size of the footprints.
So Josh, do you want to talk about what we were talking about as a different line item in addition to this one now, or do you want to talk about it after the last one?
We can talk about it after the last one.
Okay.
It's more of a same category, though.
Okay.
But very interested to hear about these next one.
Okay, so obviously it's pretty self-explanatory. You know, our grants are for a business can't apply for our grants. Property owners can apply for our grants to help get a business in, but a business cannot apply for one of our grants because it's capital improvements to the project, and we always want to make sure that the property owner is okay with it. And in a lot of cases, a property owner has such a large project to do, they use the maximum that's available through our programs. And then when the tenant wants it, there is nothing for a tenant. This is very specific to if you're a business and you need to make some capital, has to be capital, remember. I can't pay for somebody's blinds, a reception desk. I can't buy their furniture. I can't pay their rent. But if they needed to put up, you know, permanent plexiglass, or if they had to move something now to keep the distancing requirements, something that is a capital stays with that space, that we have money to support that, because I'm just trying to come up with something. You guys, I'm open here. The reason why there isn't anything more than this is that Rebecca and I will have to sit down and talk through all those questions about, you know, what about this? What about this? If the property owner got money, then how that, I mean, I don't know, but I just wanted to see what you think about trying to come up with something like this. You're not liking it. Okay.
Is this in the budget? Is this a particular item that you're speaking to, you know, when you're talking about it? Is it listed here? I'm not even sure. I know
the COVID-19 business grant.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I just wanted to know where I was. Yes. And it does need to relate specifically to COVID in the sense of what's happened to them in due to the year.
Well, we can change the name, but again, for me, I was looking at if somebody needs to do something in their space, that's just another burden for them. Yep. As they're trying to just
come back from COVID.
Yes.
Would this be able to be applied for like the outdoor seating, or is that another item? If they need an improvement, you know, a capital improvement or investment.
That's an excellent question. So if somebody currently does not have, it can't be used for a platform. It can't, you know, it has to be, it can't be used for that. But if somebody needed to, you know, their door needs to be expanded, or they have the ability to put in a patio, usually those types of things are more for a business like Christo's, you know, if they didn't have that little outside area, more in the northern part of Riverfront. Not so much in downtown, but absolutely. If we could help somebody expand and put that permanent type of improvement in, that's exactly what we would do with this. But again, we haven't talked about how much would the grant be, you know, would it be like the strategic grant where, you know, we pay 100% of the cost for those crime prevention. You know, we've done a lot of trash enclosures, security cameras, security lights. The property owners are very appreciative of that. But again, that's, you know, you get up to $30,000 and we pay all the costs versus our regular grant program, where we pay a percentage.
I don't want to take up too much time, but if it were something that the city was purchasing, urban development was purchasing, like let's say the idea of the parklet, you're saying the business couldn't use a grant because it's not permanent, but what if the city were purchasing it and then the city owns it, so in a sense it's permanently owned by the city, but it can be borrowed by businesses, you know, like they sign up for it, they get it for free, but the city actually owns it.
You know, one of the things that we were looking at earlier was, could we buy them and loan them out? And I went through quite a bit with engineering staff trying to figure out, and then trying to get bids on how that would look, because it's different for a parallel space than it was. Basically, it was only something we were considering for parallel space, because those are the most difficult. The diagonals, you get a good bang for the buck if you expand your seating into it. It's not the same for parallel. That's a good question, Aaron, because then it's not just, you know, we have something to loan out, it's the rest of it too. Where is it stored? Who installs it? Who cleans it? I'll just give you a heads up right now that probably in the summer, I'll be bringing to you what we'll call our program. Because right now, what we've done is just do whatever we need to do to help. But that's not going to be forever, because we want the platforms to be the same, to have a consistent look and feel. So after we're through this critical moment, more towards the fall, I'll be bringing back to you some type of program that has requirements in it. So right now, there are some that have tents, but they're only open for one meal a day. So, you know, for example, if you wanted to be able to have a platform and you wanted to be on the street, you would need to be open, you know, 5 days a week with two meals that you're serving. Otherwise, you know, you're taking parking spaces offline, you know, 24/7. And because I hear it all the time, nobody's ever there. I've never seen one person in that tent. Okay. So, you know, we'll have to, when we get through this, have a program where we have one or two options for designs. And if you want that on the street, then you're going to have to go with one of those designs, and you're going to have to meet these other requirements. I just don't know exactly what all those are going to be, but it won't be what we have now, where we really, you know, it's free. You know, we gave you money for the tent. We're letting you, you know, get your permit for free. We're letting you, everything's been free, because that's the right thing to do right now. But I think to go forward, we'll have to organize ourselves.
Okay, so for budget purposes, what we're talking about here, this $500,000, then, I mean, it's basically, it's a little bit open-ended, but we're going to be creative about how we can use it. I mean, I think it's a great idea to have. And I think $500,000 seems like a pretty good amount.
Should be.
Money to have there.
So. But back to your question. So let's say I had to buy some platforms right now and loan them out. I would be taking that from Streetscape. Probably.
That's well, I don't like doing. That.
I don't either.
So, you know, because that would be where it would align, because I can't take it from parking fund, yeah. But I would tie it into.
So this creates a budget for that. Is that what you're saying? This COVID-19 business grant program, that's going to be the budget for those kind of items, maybe. It's okay. We don't need to go into it much further. I think you've.
Okay. Well, can I, because I say I will come back to you with more thoughts, but giving me this will help Rebecca and I with what we come back to you. So it may be the timing is perfect that one of the things that this is eligible, one of the items eligible is a platform. So you could apply for this COVID business grant and buy one of the two options for platform design. Okay? Rebecca, you got that? Somewhere? I'll write it down.
Okay. On my list.
Got it. Okay, thank you. So the last one is just tied to kind of what we were talking about earlier, but I got more information on the project. So basically, this is a two-phase type of project. I went back and looked at when I met with, when I had a conversation with facilities, the items that they had on their list for capital improvements to the parkades, because of the deficit we had, they said all of those didn't have to be done this year, which was good. That there wouldn't be a consequence if we didn't do them this year. But I went back and tried to take a look at, are there any of those that if we did it, could help with those costs that we keep having for cleaning? And so this particular one is different than what I wrote here. So basically in Marion, it's the only one that has the glass by the stairwells. And so phase one would be to get, and it's currently the frames around it, it leaks and it's rusted. The frames are all rusted and it doesn't meet code. So it's like phase one would be getting all, and so it's difficult to clean. So that was the one that adds because we have to have a third party come in and wash that glass. So we have a third party that washes the stairwells, and we have a third party that washes the glass, and then we have Sparkle Clean that cleans, and then we have facilities. And actually the police this week helped us open up a stairwell that hadn't been cleaned for a week because of safety issues so that we could finally clean it in Marion. So this was just one that I thought I would put here as a placeholder to see if that logic kind of made sense to you guys also, to try to do a low-hanging fruit that could then save us in the future on some cleaning costs. But again, facilities is okay if we don't do it. I just wanted to put it here for discussion.
It's kind of hard to piecemeal because, you know, you almost want to wait for the consulting to tell you what should happen. But it sounds like that's real time feedback from the people doing the work. And so.
Well, Josh, it's so funny you say that because my first thought was, I don't want to replace the glass. I want to put something that's not glass because then I don't have to clean it. But I don't know if that's an option. So that's a good thought because maybe I should be thinking more along my own thoughts where maybe that isn't at the end of the day what we would have there in the future because of just that. It's just one more thing. And if it wasn't glass, then we wouldn't be even having this conversation. It wouldn't rust and it wouldn't need to be cleaned. It would be something else.
To me, $100,000 to replace the glass. Then I'm looking at the other ones. Some of those you might consider investments or incentives. And $100,000 is a lot of money. And of course, we don't want to have dirty city property, especially in high exposure areas. But when you consider the function and role or the function of these funds, to me, I'd rather see adaptive reuse consulting services be $100,000, but I don't know how much the glass costs or even more. But I feel like it sounds like this needs to happen. So you kind of want to have it in there.
I don't know if all of the glass, I don't think that all of the glass would be replaced with the 100,000. I think it's a phased project over a couple of years.
Oh.
So it'd be more than this.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to put that one in the, on my whiteboard as maybe we remove it for right now, because we want to focus on the analysis first for suggested improvements.
That okay. Seems like a good idea to me too.
Okay, I agree. Thank you. So these were some of my thoughts. Does any of you have something that you were thinking you would see on here, or something now that we've been talking?
Was there any property in particular in mind for the opportunity purchase, the very last item on there?
No, we've just kept that because we had all those years where we had no money when something came up, that we've always tried to keep something there so we would never not be able to take advantage of an opportunity.
So, Cherie, I did want to ask the property acquisition and for the Navigation Center. So where are we on that? I mean, it's in the previous budget, but we still, after our meeting with, so the acquisition for the Navigation Center, that was the 4.1 million. So I'm just wondering, do we know any more about this? Is it?
It's not there because it's my understanding it's not moving forward.
Okay.
And you know what? There was another one that I had that I don't know what I was doing when I did this memo. I'm so sorry. I also put in money for demolition of the UGM Saffron site.
Yes.
I put in, what did I put in? 550? Yes. I did not have that on my memo. I want to make sure that that makes sense to all of you. The goal is, you know, to keep that going and to make that as attractive, I guess is the word, for a person as possible. I think, I don't know if we talked about it last year, but Aaron and I talked about it, and it was a really good idea to for us to continue to find a way to make that site ready, as possible. So I'm sorry I slipped over that one. Does anybody have an issue with that?
No, that's a great idea.
I think to add a little to that conversation, I like that it says site or redevelopment planning and site preparation. Right? Is that what it says?
Yes.
Because that leaves it, the thought was is that a lot of, once UGM moves out, there might be, who knows, a window of time between when the developer gets in there or when the developer starts their design, where the city could either be helping them or just do it on your own. But basically things like environmental reports, soils reports, I don't know, everything down to survey and even if the city paid to get the demolition plans done but didn't even start the demolition, just all that stuff that just takes time and money. And so I feel like it's great to have the money there, but I just kind of wanted to get that again in your ear, Cherie, that whoever you need to talk to kind of get some of those balls rolling, so to speak, in terms of, I mean, there's just all these things that take a lot of time. And so having the money there is awesome, but there's also a big window of time that I could see it going to waste if we just like sit and wait for the developer we don't even know yet to come along. So that's my rant and rant.
Yeah, the good news is that we've done, as just part of our due diligence, we have lots of level ones. There's been some remediation. All of that is being taken care of, and we're getting the PPAs because we're going to be taking ownership. So that's all been happening. The other thing tied to it was what you guys have mentioned in the past, and which obviously we have opportunity funds there too, is there's the ABC Music building, and there's Emerson's building on the corner. And so I, you know, have asked our real estate manager to, you know, inquire about willingness or not for some of that to be part of this too. So there is stuff that happens, you know, which is why we want to continue to have something available for that, if that's what we want to add to that redevelopment opportunity. So anyway, I won't forget, Aaron.
I had a question. It was related to the redevelopment opportunity. To me, I always thought that it would be most practical to have a leveled site that's compacted and clear for a developer to come in. But is the thinking right now with the city that we would have a demolition permit in hand to have that cost be laid on to whoever comes in to redevelop? Because to me, it would seem like to get the best prospect of it getting redeveloped, you want to make it as easy as possible.
Well, you know, very good question, Josh, and those of you who know me, I want it down. Okay, I this is an estimate to take it down. It does not contribute to the vibrancy in downtown in its current form. So the goal would be to move forward with having it taken down after the outside.
And if the city is proceeding with the RFP, okay, like what Aaron said, having that survey, geotechnical report, topographic report, environmental, all sitting there in a basket to then distribute out when the applicants come in. I mean, that would just be so much more effective and save so much time and energy to have all that done and, I guess, standardized so that applicants can move fast and vet the project to see if it's
criteria. And that could alleviate some of the biggest risks for them,
right?
Some of the biggest unknowns.
Good. It would certainly be a much more attractive piece of property if those were done. Put it on your whiteboard.
Is there any space left on the whiteboard?
That's not on my whiteboard. That's on my notes. On my whiteboard, did you want to talk about any other projects that, or ideas, thoughts about a project that, again, that you were hoping I would put on here that I missed?
I have a question about the conference center marketing. Is that expense, is that something that a contract you have with the convention center, or so I'm just wondering, are we responsible and how long will we be responsible for that?
That's a really good question, and I'll give it to you in simple. It's there, but the transportation occupancy tax, the tax that people pay when they do lodging, is the source of funds that pay for that. But it has to show up on our budget, and then with the magic that budget people do behind the scenes, how because obviously TOT is not agency money, how these things, because of agreements, get transferred, but it isn't something that we pay for. Transit occupancy tax pay for that. We do pay for the insurance because that is our asset, but not the marketing.
Okay.
There's a separate agreement and everything with that, but that's a good question, especially for those.
So it has to be on our budget, but it's not money that really goes out.
Because it's our asset and how they transfer things, and I'm so sorry, Callie might be able to do a better job of that, but that's the simple answer is we get reimbursed for that.
That answers us.
Yeah.
Last year, within the last 6 months, there's a subcommittee developed for the RFP portion that Linda and Tyson headed up, and that was awesome. And I think it would be practical to take a look at doing that or having a work session or something to that effect about this midtown, north downtown especially considering what we're recommending here on the budget. Just taking a look at creative solutions for that. I just think it's such a high priority, and it would be, I guess, wrong to not give it more concerted time and effort.
So Josh, the RFP is in development. That will come back to the board to take a look at it. I'll meet with Linda and Tyson on that. That's its own separate thing for site specific. But what you're talking about is, it is called Midtown. I went back to the strategic plan. The area that has Nordstrom's, TJ Maxx, Penny's, Salem Center, it was identified as Midtown. And so, I hate to use the word branding, but that's what it keeps coming back to. Again, Josh was nice enough to give me some time yesterday because I have this stuff in my head and I don't know what to do with it. But, you know, for me, it's all about trying to find anything that we could do to help. And so what might that be? And so what we were talking about was the pearl was not the pearl before it became the pearl. People wanted to be in that area, a property owner, because it was up and coming. You know, you're taking something that was dilapidated and not used. It was an area for bad things, and now all of a sudden, all this home ownership was going in there, restaurants, all this fun stuff. And so, and again, I hate to use the word consultant, but Josh and I were talking about there might be value in us working with somebody to make that an identity and have then something for those property owners to buy into, that you're part of this area. You know, we have the historic district, we have the North Waterfront district, we have North Downtown, and then again, we have this Midtown. Not that we would call it Midtown, that's where you want to be, but would that be a value possibly to have this kind of consensus of redevelopment there is part of this brand area? I don't know. I mean, I use the pearl only because that's such a well-known example of, but actually Cruise Way is the same thing. You know, think of house and you have all, you know, office buildings, and that's kind of where you want to be. I mean, there are those areas that have been branded one way or another, and that's where people want to invest because other people are investing. They want to be part of that experience. I mean, we're Salem, but at the same time, do you want to be in the historic district? Do you want to be in the district area? What do you guys think about having a line item to look at whatever that is that we would be looking at? I don't even really know what to call that scope. I hate branding, but creating an identity, possibly having funds, kind of like placemaking. I'm thinking, Rebecca, you know, with Main Street, you know, this is, you're doing placemaking and this is what's in this area, kind of like, you know, the West End of Dallas, or I don't know, what can we call this that would generate enthusiasm to want to be a part of it and not take away from the other treasures we have in the historic district or up in the entertainment area. It's its own place. And again, one of the things that I keep thinking about is, you know, with the exception of the rivers, we don't really have any homeownership. And, you know, maybe that's something we should think about. Interest rates are so low. That's the one thing that still seems to be happening with low inventory. I mean, are we missing an opportunity there that close to downtown? I don't know. Sorry, I am so rambling. I'm going to be quiet.
No, I think it's completely worthy of dedicating more concerted time to it as a separate line item. But there's identity and branding, and to me that's just marketing. to define the area. But then there's also incentivizing interested parties and then like defining physical limitations. To me, housing is what's going to really round out downtown over the next 10 years and more. Ideally, people could own where they live in condominiums, but generally the business model, at least from what we've seen in downtown developments, is apartments and holding on to those assets. So I think there's going to be a lot of housing incentives coming down the pipeline. It's just my personal opinion. Creative housing solutions and programs led by the government. So I think there could be some really great opportunities for affordable housing development. It's just creating that funnel for interested parties to know what can be done. And a great name would help. You know, a defined, marketed, branded thing would just be intuitive. But that takes time. And money. It's all money.
Okay, so I know we're running out of time, so I got to go back to my whiteboard. Okay, so, Aaron, streetscape, what would you like to add to it?
Well, I'm not sure. I had that question of public works.
Capacity.
What could we add to it? So,
I'm going to hold my placeholder until I get that answer for next meeting.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd like to see at a minimum doing both sides of a street each summer at sort of the bare minimum.
Okay.
But I guess it's that question. Do they have the capacity to do more than that? And I'd rather go faster than slower, especially if we have the funds available. So.
Okay. And Cherie, I would add to that, you know, there was the confusion when there was streetscape going on State Street and also the curb changes. And so I would ask Public Works if it's easier to do different projects at the same time, or if it would be better to have streetscape be there or wait for the curbs or whatever changes might be in place. And make sure that all the businesses understood the difference.
Okay. So adaptive reuse, it's on my whiteboard. I'm looking at what do we have for adaptive reuse right now. 50. Do I hear 75? Do I hear 100? I don't know.
Well, there's the money part. The scope of what the money can do, because it says help identify potential reuse options. So it can help a property owner or a potential purchaser. But the way the grants work, my understanding is the property owner applies, but if there's interested purchasers applying, I mean, that money will appropriately marketed and broadcasted, that those funds will dry up, in my opinion. Especially if you're talking about an engineer or an architect.
They're very expensive. The architects are so expensive, I can't tell you.
Aaron's here.
Okay, so we're
like
ready.
Half the hourly rate of lawyers, just so you know.
So what are we thinking, 75 or 100?
I would think at a minimum of 100,000.
Can you, Josh, get a sense of that's what everybody's thinking?
Anybody else have any ideas on that line item?
This is the adaptive reuse consulting services line?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have a good sense of what that should be, but I'm comfortable. 100,000 seems like a good placeholder.
Would we need to be making any motion on this, or do we just say we'd like to increase that?
Yeah, it's just if you guys just need to get consensus, because again, Callie will take whatever changes come out of this conversation and bring it back to you.
Poor Callie, she's still in here listening to us.
I'm still here. Sorry, Callie. Hey, Callie, you have to admit, no big anythings, right?
Yeah, much better than last week.
Okay, yo, Annual, sorry. We are there for you. Okay, so going once, going twice with the auctioneer, we're going with the 100. Okay, so next one on the list is removal of Marion Parquet glass. Until maybe next year after we get information on some suggestions for improvements, and this might be one that comes out, I don't know. What does everybody think about that?
So we scratch it for now?
Yes.
Okay, I agree with that. Can I,
no.
Out of turn here, just quickly, when we're talking about branding, is Portland Lou a proprietary name? Is it like a manufacturer? Or are you just
branded? Yeah. I think it's copyrighted.
It is what it's called.
You can
go online. Portland.
You can't call it a Salem Lou, or just scratch the word Portland, because that doesn't.
It's just a
good marketing for sale.
It's a Lou, but yeah, when you go on, it's you buy it. It's called the Portland Lou.
Okay.
They had it designed. Yeah. Okay, so I'm getting rid of Marion. So the things that are on my list is I'm going back to Public Works to get more information on their capacity if every year we wanted to do both sides of wherever we were doing it, correct? And then come back with yes or no, and if no, we'd probably have an okay budget. If yes, how much more would I need to add? Is that right? So let's say they say yes, and they need to, I guess this is for you, Kelly, they say yes, and we need another $1 million or $2 million. Where do we want that to get balanced out of?
Well, since the purchase isn't going through with the arches, would that roll over into the fund?
That it's not reflected on your draft budget. You don't see anything there. She's already incorporated that into the draft budget. It's not carried over.
Okay, my apologies. I see that.
So it would be a matter of grants or
so Sheree, can I jump in?
Yes, please.
Okay. It can also come just from the committed to future project line. You can allocate more money to that project, and then it would reduce that amount for future projects.
So the 11 million?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, thanks for that clarification. That's what I understood, was that basically we have that 11.6 is kind of like a carryover. So not that we want to dip, like take all of it or anything, but.
I do. How many?
Yeah, I mean, we want to use. We need to use some. Yeah, we don't need to just sit here and hold money. That's not our job.
So basically, Callie, we don't have to worry about anything. We don't have to look at any other. We don't have to change anything to add 2 million. Correct.
No. Okay. No, there is room to allocate those funds.
Okay.
Unless we were thinking that in the future, and Callie, this is kind of maybe a question for you, that. Oh, 2 years from now, we're not going to be able to keep getting these, bonds. So we need to carry over money. I mean, otherwise, why are we carrying over? It's just because we're not quite using it all, right?
Well, I mean, maybe this is Sheree, maybe you can jump in, but there are a list of projects that need to be accomplished and planned. And so I think that funding is the funding that's available for those projects in the near term. So whatever the priorities are for the near term, that would be the funding for those projects.
Well, and Erin, last year when we were having budget discussions, what shows there is one thing, but actually having the money to back it up until you go through the bonds, because I know that the grant program was cut back because we didn't have enough money to back it up. And then, Callie, you were part of the process to get us that bond, which wasn't easy during COVID moment. And again, we were trying to have money to cover the navigation center acquisition along with the land acquisition of arches, along with all these other things. So, you know, if we're not doing the navigation, but we bonded and have that money available, that is what's there too. So again, there was a lot of planning done to try to cover, like Callie said, the projects that were anticipated. But now that a big one, you know, has been taken away. So I have no doubt that things will come in that we don't even know about, especially, obviously we've been blindsided with homeless projects in the past, just like this Lou project. And I think that that's part of the strategy for having funds too, because that's kind of part of the politics. And if it's in Riverfront, they're looking to this fund to cover those costs. So Kelly, you have what you need?
Yes, I believe so.
Okie dokie. Anybody have anything for Kelly or for me?
Well, other than a big thank you to Kelly for all of her work. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Kelly.
Yeah, you're welcome. My pleasure.
And Sherry, thank you. And Rebecca.
Welcome.
So I'm going to be cognizant of our time as well. We're 3 minutes past 1:30. Unless there's anything less to discuss, I move that we probably adjourn the meeting. I don't think we need to take a vote on that. No.
Good job, Josh. Thank you.
You just slam your gavel, Josh.
Sure. All right, my calculator. Okay.
Yes. Good job, Josh. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. See you next time.
Mm-hmm.